This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bob, over the years, you've had many opportunities. Anybody ever ask you to run for an office?
Yeah.
Over the years, has anybody ever asked you to run for office in any capacity?
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Oh, okay, good, because I just came from the football game. I just pulled over.
Oh, okay. Not,
can you hear me good now?
Yep, can you hear me okay? What game was it? Who was playing?
My grandson. They're over in Rosemont, Lakeville, North. Just a freshman. So it was his first game. It was kind of fun, really fun.
So they played that game, huh?
Huh?
They played that. We just had the Lakeville North coach on because they canceled the JV game and the varsity game tomorrow night between Rosemont and Lakeville North. Did you know that?
No, I heard that. Yes.
Yeah, COVID.
They were talking about, but this was a freshman and yep. They did play, so they were.
What do we got? That. Do we got another big boy? Last name Lertzman, or what do we got?
It's a Moline, and he's a lot like Max. He's a great quarterback. Who knows nothing about football?
Yeah, yep. That's what they used to tell me, but I could play the position, the old Q position, man. The thing that I could do better than most.
I wish I could have. Max, if I come back in the second.
We don't have film of that. That's the problem.
I play against you and your quarterback.
The film's got flooded out that in the coach's room, so I can't show people what I used to be able to do. But one of the things I did so well is I'd walk up to the line of scrimmage and I'd recognize what defenses were trying to do to me. What are you laughing at?
They all wanted a piece of you, man.
Yeah, it didn't do them any good, but I recognized it at least. Hey, you and I were talking earlier today. This is pretty interesting to me. You know, when you talk about the complexities of playing football and you know, one of the things that you talked about, explain this to the fans, is when you lined up, you had certain codes and certain things you would yell out if one of the players thought the other team was tipping it off and you wanted to communicate to your teammates that, hey, it's going to be a pass. How would you go about that if you picked up on something, some nuance that they were doing to tip the play?
Yeah. What would happen, Maxie, if, when they come to line of scrimmage, if you notice a lot of times whether their butts down, you know, and their heads above their fan, you know they're coming straight up. And you look at their feet, and they're parallel. They'll have the right foot back further than the left, or vice versa. When they come out like that, with the head above their fanny and their stance and their feet parallel, it's going to be a pass. And then once we knew it was going to be a pass, like say it was on first down, we'd give out, you know, a fake call, not a call. We might call it Eller or Marshall, you know, double-double or whatever. Then whatever defense we were in, we would automatically rush the passer. That would take us off the original call.
And anybody on the defensive line could yell that if they picked up on it, or how did it work?
Yes, anybody that saw it. Because a lot of times you check your feet up, but if you watch the knuckles on the offensive line or when they get in their stance, if you see a lot of white in their knuckles, you know they're going to be aggressive. So that'll make you aware that the odds are it's going to be a run.
Yeah.
So you play a little tougher. But then also, Maxie, as the season progresses, this is a little different this year, but that's why the defense is usually ahead of the offense the first couple, three games, not this year. But once they get film down on you, all of a sudden, like in split formation, when the backs are split, in other words, the fullback and the halfback are lined up behind the offensive tackles.
Yeah.
That's what you call a split formation. Well, one time we were playing the Packers, and when they got in a split formation, 87% of the time it was a pass. So no matter what the call was, we could automatically go. When it came out and said a split left flex, we would automatically go into a pass rush mode.
You mean Bart Starr didn't pick up on that? He didn't know that they were giving it away?
Well, no. I mean, who would give it away?
I mean, Bart Starr is their quarterback. He was a smart guy.
No. See, now you're going the philosophy of a great quarterback like yourself.
Right.
No, he didn't know that we knew. What the linemen were doing, you know, when they were down like that. And see, when you get so much film down on a certain team, in other words, when you're 4, 5, 8 games in, when they come out in a certain formation, they're going to do certain things, certain tendencies that lines them up properly to have a higher percentage of executing that play properly. No, I mean, that's what coaching's all about. Maxie, coaching. And I said this in his show, and I love saying it. Coaching is 80-85% of the game.
Sure.
You know as well as you do when you play quarterback, when that coach gets between your ears, all of a sudden you're thinking too much, you're not going on your instincts and natural reaction. Yeah. No, I mean, they're all looking back and forth, and you can weigh what I'm saying and be pros and cons with both sides of it. But in reality, what you're trying to do myself as a defensive player, you know, we're trying to get a slight advantage over the opposing offense. Now, whether that's a 70%, you know, compared to wherever you're out there, it may only be 40%, who knows? But as you go deeper into the season, you know their tendencies more and more and more. And it's like any club, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, are they a running team? I don't think so.
No.
And then, so.
So what was the difference for you between being a Minnesota Viking and a Seattle Seahawk? At that time, when you went to play for the Seahawks, obviously that city was just beginning to make its move into what is it, you know, it's become almost like a San Francisco out there in terms of the housing market and everything else. At that time, it was still a little bit sleepy. What was it like to be a Seattle Seahawk as part of one of the you know, almost original members?
I had a play. I had to earn my money.
That was the big problem, right? They said, "Let's go. We brought you over here to start."
I was regular Bob. I didn't like it. I wasn't bothering anybody here in Minnesota.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, you were just fine.
Oh, but that was in '76, of course, and I was traded for Amar Rashad, and the best trade the Seahawks ever made.
Yes, and now still talked about. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, without
Vikings guys screwed with getting Rashad. Yeah.
When I got to Seattle, I said, "Hey, listen to me. You know, in 25, 30 years, you'll be world champions." You know,
and they were. Yeah.
They listened and they became world champions.
Yeah. All I needed was Russell Wilson to be born.
Hey, Max, you know the neatest part about going out there. Number one, Jack Patera. He coached me 9 of my 12 years.
Yeah.
And I love Jack Patera. He read me like a book. But the thing when we went out there, it's, the people that were taken and not protected, because they used to, you're allowed to take X amount of players off your team.
The expansion draft you're referring to, yes.
Right. And then they'd pull you off. They'd leave 15 available for you, then they'd be down to 5, whatever. But the ones that were out there, we had work ethic and integrity. And when we went out there, we played so we didn't make mellow mistakes, and we played so hard together that it was such a wonderful, wonderful team experience. More so than with other clubs I played with, not just Minnesota, but the Giants as well.
But you guys weren't very good. You didn't win many games.
I'm sorry, what?
I said you were not a very good team, though, were you? I mean, Seattle did not win many games back then.
No. Well, we tied. We had the earliest shutout in franchise history, and I remember that because I got the game ball on that one, 17-0 against the Jets.
Oh, you beat beat Namath?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mailed Namath a couple. You know, it was fun sacking him because I heard the Giants. I knew him out there as well. So. It was fun getting to him, but he had such a quick release. It was unbelievable. But anyway, we tied the record for most wins in a first-year club, and then we set the record for most wins in the second year. And the group together, trying as hard as we could, because how many times, Maxie, or even the people that are listening to you right now, how many times have you seen an athlete out there who's just a terrible athlete, but he's trying so hard, you said, oh, any way I could help him, you know. That's the type of feeling we had. You know, let's help each other. And you can't buy that type of experience. And a lot of athletes nowadays, you know, I'm so fed up with them that they think it's lucky that they're even playing, you know, for the fans.
Not Steve Largent, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, look at Jim Zorn. You know, Largent.
Zorro, Largent, Lurtsema. You guys did a lot with your careers after football as well, I might add.
Well, you got two out of three, right? So that,
yes.
That was good. But, yeah, those are the things that you live in and grow. And then there are fans out there, you know, they call it the 12th man. Viking fans are just tremendous. But, man, when you went out there to that dome and those fans, they started cheering the time to get on there, and they just didn't stop. I mean, when the opposing offense got on the field, I mean, everything rattled. It was just, you couldn't believe it.
So tell me about this game on Sunday. Why has Seattle dominated the Vikings so much over the last several years?
Quarterback situation. You know, I think with the quarterback they have, that just he can do it all. He really can. And here's something that when you're in Seattle, you hate to do, because if you play a noon game, you're a Seattle Seahawks, and then when we played the Jets, it was a 12:00 game. Well, there was a 3-hour time change, so when kickoff to us was 9:00 in the morning, and you're having your pregame meal at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
So those are all those changes, and I think it's the opposite when you go out west. But that traveling part and with their quarterback, it's given the Vikings just all kinds of problems.
Well, it's the old saying, you can't know what Russell Wilson's going to do when he doesn't know what he's going to do. In other words, he does scramble a little bit like Tarkenton, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, yeah.
But remember that one year he lit him up and they beat the Vikings so bad during the regular season, and then they came back and the Vikings had Blair Walsh not miss that field goal, would have won it, and they held him to 10 points or whatever. And Zimmer had closed off either side. So in other words, he likes to what we call reverse roll. He'll do a spin move, and he did that successfully in game one. In the second game, the Vikings completely took that away and made him play between the two tackles. I don't know what's happened since, but they had tremendous success. That was the year it was, you know, 6-0 or whatever when they played that game, and they ended up losing it at TCF Bank Stadium. But they haven't been able to do that since.
No, what you're seeing out there a lot of time is when your clock management comes into play so much. And you look at stats. Like right now, there's a terrible stat out there. The Seattle Seahawks have given up more passing yardage, 400 yards, per game, giving more passing yardage than any other team in the National Football League, but they're 4-0, and there's where a little deception comes in, because every team that's played them so far has been behind.
Right. So now you soften up and say, hey, we'll give you 10-15 yarders all day and let you use the clock, right?
Right, because you know, they're running game's not really their second against the run, but But yeah, that's the difference. So the staff can be deceiving.
The last time the Vikings beat them, Brett Favre was the quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, 2009.
Man, you must have something in front. You must be cheating on me.
I'm not. I did all this stuff about the vice presidents too. It's off the top of my head. give me this though, Lurchy. The Vikings fans want to know, what do we got with this team? I mean, is 8-8 the best you could see for this team? Is there any chance they can revive this thing and get into playoff contention? What do you see from the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, way to put me on the spot.
But you've seen more teams than anybody else who played the game.
Oh, I know. But what I'm going to say isn't going to be positive.
Uh-oh.
So that's why I have to tippy toe. The thing of it is, 80-85%, we just mentioned that.
Coaching, 80, we've already established that, yep.
Right. But I watch the defensive line, and I can tell you when they have two-gap responsibility. Just watching it, on television. I know when they got two gap. I know when they're going to run, rush or whatever. And they're tipping. Our defensive line is tipping on our defenses. In other words, they're telling, because I talked to Matt Burke about this as well. Matt's seeing the same thing. So when he knows when a player knows what the defense is going to be, whether it's two gap, full blown rush or anything, that puts the plus into the offensive team's box. They have the advantage at that point, and he's seeing the same thing I am, and I'm no genius, obviously. You know that, but
yeah, I'm not going to stop you. Keep going.
But when you watch them line up, I can almost tell you, who's got two gap or whether they're going to have outside responsibility, whether it's a pass rush. I can spot that myself and even pick up on some of the blitzes.
All right, last question, Lurchy. This has been a tough year for all of us in a lot of different ways, but you're very much a social butterfly. You like to be at practice, games, banquets, all those things. How have you handled 2020 since COVID came along? Personally, what's it been like? Because you're such an active guy.
Number one, I wear my mask, I do all that stuff, and we'll get through it, right? But I haven't handled it very well at all. Although I have caught up on my honeydew list. I didn't realize I was that far behind.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of those things done. But I'm totally just bored to death. And I was so glad they played the game tonight.
Yeah.
With the freshman game to get out. But, we'll get through it. It's tough on everybody. But I'm a positive person.
I know you are, but I miss seeing you. I don't see you at the game. I don't see you at practice. The places I used to see you.
Yeah. And, that's when they open everything up, that's when we'll go.
Yeah.
But the interesting part is, though, that you go to a game now, and a lot of times there's nobody in there.
Right.
But as a defensive lineman, when I get down on my stance, I lock out the noise anyway. So for a defensive player, there's not that major change without the audience, the fans.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't like to hear that because, hey, we cheer and you affect, we hear you when we go out there on the field, but you've got to be able to lock out that voice once your hand, you're getting your stance and your fingers hit the ground.
Some of those voices you heard weren't fans, by the way, Bob. That was just voices. Hey, I appreciate you, sir. We got to go, but thank you so much.
Hey, go Vikes. I hope they went out. But seriously, I just think they have too many problems, and it's on the offense and defensive lines.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, great talking to you.
Guys, fun to have Lurchy on again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.